from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hey listener, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will bring you first our news, followed by My Indonesia, Today in History, Highlight of the Week, News in Brief, Indonesian Wonder, Miss Lady, and Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia optimist to achieve maximum medals from pencaksilat in 2018 Asian Games. Election Supervisory Board is asked to be professional in handling political dispute. 20 diving spots in Sabang attracted foreign divers. Now the news in detail. Secretary General of the Executive Board of Indonesian Pencaksilat Association, F. Rizal Caniago, on Sunday told RRI that he is optimistic that two gold medal targets from pencaksilat sport at the upcoming 2018 Asian Games will be achieved. According to him, until now, all pencaksilat athletes continue to prepare ahead of the Asian Games, both inside and outside the country. One of them is by winning 10 gold medals at the test event 2018 championship some time ago. Although the government is targeting to win 2 gold medals from pencaksilat, F. Rizal Caniago said that they are determined to win as many medals as possible from pencaksilat, including the overall champion.
Kita ditargetkan minimum itu dapat 2 emas. Ya, kita sambut 2 emas itu, alhamdulillah.
The minimum target is 2 gold medals. We welcome it, hopefully, over the struggle of trainers and athletes and all the prayers of the people, that target can be achieved. Of course, there are special targets of the Executive Board of the Indonesian Pencaksilat Association. We are assigned by the General Chairman Prabowo Subianto to win as many medals as possible, winning the overall champion of pencaksilat. Indonesia has just become the overall champion in a test event ahead the 2018 Asian Games. Pencaksilat became the top contributor with 10 gold medals then. According to Rizal Caniago, this result has not become a measure of Indonesian success at the upcoming Asian Games. However, preparation and improvement steps are continuously taken so that the target of the overall champion in pencaksilat at least can be achieved. In addition to targeting the overall champion, the board will make the Asian sport competition as a place of sport and cultural diplomacy of Indonesia. According to him, pencaksilat is currently the only sport exporting coach to overseas. This is done to spread the culture of Indonesia through pencaksilat to all people in the world. PT Transportasi Jakarta Transjakarta is planning to increase Transjakarta bus route during the Asian Games 2018. President Director of Transjakarta Budi Kaliwono in Jakarta on Saturday said that the addition of the tourist route aims to facilitate athletes, coaches, official teams, as well as tourists who come to the capital during the implementation of the Asian Games 2018. He said the addition of a number of bus routes is to serve tourists as well as introducing the city of Jakarta to visitors, especially at the international level. The Election Supervisory Board is asked to be professional in handling political party dispute after the determination of participants in the 2019 election by General Election Commissions. Executive Director of the Association for Election and Democracy, Perludem, Titi Anggreni, in Jakarta on Sunday said the trial of the dispute should be open, transparent, accountable, and there should be no discrimination. When a political party dissatisfied with the decision of the Election Commission submits a dispute to the board, the Election Supervisory Board must settle the case within 12 days of registration. Titi added, if after the board issued a decision, the parties still feel dissatisfied, then they can appeal to the State Administrative Court. The General Election Commission on Saturday has announced political parties that has passed the threshold for the election 2019. Two political parties have been declared unsuccessful, namely Star Crescent Party and the Indonesian Unity Party. Former chairman of PP Muhammadiyah, the second biggest Islamic organization in Indonesia, Buya Syafi'i Ma'arif, firmly stated that no religion whatsoever justifies violence or arbitrariness against the followers of other religions. Syafi'i Ma'arif said the violence and intolerance attitude that occurred lately is the result of wrong interpretation of religious teachings by the adherents. Professor Ma'arif, when receiving audience from the Yogyakarta Community Movement Against Intolerance or GEMAYOMI at the Suara Muhammadiyah building in Yogyakarta on Saturday afternoon, said many cases of violence against religious followers is more due to ignorance of the perpetrators, including terrorism on behalf of bringing religious postulates. Buya Syafi'i Ma'arif stated Islam is a religion that always put forward the face of peace or rahmatan lil alamin. Member of the House of Representatives Maria Johanna S.T. Wijayati, who also became an elder member of GEMAYOMI, said the organization appreciates the dedication of Syafi'i Ma'arif figure who always spreads pluralism or diversity and embraces all parties. The economy of a country must have a support in order for the country to experience a stable economy. Not only stable, the economy can increase and make the people prosperous. Program manager of the Indonesian Business Coalition for Women Empowerment, Maya Juwita, to RRI in a dialogue on Sunday said that it was in line with the Indonesian Business Coalition for Women Empowerment, which aims to change the public view of the lack of gender equality in the community, especially in the world of work, as if it belongs only to men. Maya Juwita added, there are studies in several countries which stated the presence of women in a country can improve the company's economy and the country as well. She remarked that gender equality not only benefits certain companies but benefits the state economy. In some countries, it has been proven that their economy is progressing due to participation of female that working in companies. The National Tour Strategic Area stated that there are more than 20 best dive sites in Sabang waters, Aceh. The area has already been explored by thousands of divers around the world. The dive sites are, among others, the wreckage of German ships Sophie Rigmers, Batay Dua Gapang, Batay Meroron, Batay Maduro, Rondo Island, and Coral Cars. A diving business owners in Pantai Gapang Resort Gampong Village Iboy, Sabang, on Sunday said every day there are foreign tourists in Iboy Beach, Gapang, and Kosumur 3. He said that the most western island of Sumatra in the Malacca Strait and the Indian Ocean has many locations with depths of 20 to 60 meters. Deputy Chairman of the Indonesian Maritime Tourism Development Acceleration Team, Asep Muhammad, said on Sunday that Sabang is known for its underwater world and an ideal place for diving and snorkeling. He said domestic and international tourists are mesmerized while diving into the giant aquarium inhabited by millions of marine biota. The Acceleration of Maritime Tourism Development Team of Tourism Ministry hope the local community can actively participate in maintaining and preserving coral reefs that exist under the Sea of Wei Island. As item, consumption behavior is considered to be the cause of the Indonesian population still high demand on rice. The situation is also reinforced by the government biased attitude in applying food sector policy, mainly focusing only on the pattern of paddy field cultivation. it became the red thread of a discussion titled Beras Terakhir or The Last Rice, which was held by the People's Coalition for Food Sovereignty, held in Bogor, West Java on Sunday. The discussion was attended by a lecturer of the Department of Community Nutrition, Bogor Agricultural University, who also served as a vice rector of the university, Dr. Drajat Martianto, Dr. Suryo Wiono, Chairman of the Department of Plant Protection, and Dr. Hermanut Triwidodo, Chairman of Farmers Movement Archipelago. Drajat Martianto said that currently the social construction that developed among Indonesian people still assume that rice is the only staple food. The condition is further strengthened also by the behavior of entrepreneurs who tend to take the role only as investors or speculators and very rarely become the innovators. To end the news, here are the main points once again. Indonesia is optimistic to achieve maximum medals from pencaksilat in 2018 Asian Games. Election Supervisory Board is asked to be professional in handling political dispute. 20 diving spots in Sabang attracts foreign divers. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is NRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia. Today it's on Inasgok involving 30,000 police personnel. The organizing committee of the Asian Games 2018 or Inasgok will involve more than 30,000 police personnel in four regional police or polda in organizing the Asian Games in August 2018. The number of personnel to be deployed is in accordance with security needs, including security of arena and non-arena like athletes' accommodation, hotels, and traffic on the highway. Representative of Deputy for Inasgok Police High Commissioner Unggul Sediantoro in Jakarta on Tuesday said the four regional police to be involved in securing the Asian Games in August are Polda Metro Jaya, South Sumatra Police, West Java Police, and Banten Polda. In addition to Inasgok police personnel, are also working within the Indonesian National Military or TNI headquarters related to the security of the Asian Games, especially the Army, Navy, and the Air Force Women's Corps. Meanwhile, Inasgok is optimistic that the traffic management that they plan to run will be successful and become a solution to congestion, which is one of the main issues during the Asian Games in August. Inasgok has revealed that it has devised various ways to solve traffic problems in Jakarta during the Multisports Asian Games event held from August the 18th until September the 2nd. First, it will close the closest parts of four roads encircling the Gelora Bung Karno area to minimize the vehicles entering the area, as well as being used as a shuttle path that circles the area. Second, impose several corridors of Transjakarta bus lanes as Asian Games lines that can be entered by vehicles that are the mode of transportation of the performers for the mode that drives the athletes from and to the arena of the match. And third, toll road sterilization from athletes and officials' quarters during the 2018 Asian Games to the arena or vice versa while escorting and picking up the Asian Games contingent. Fourth is to encourage the public and the committee to use more public transport during the 2018 Asian Games event. Well, that was My Indonesia Today.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with February the 18th, 1965, the Gambian independence from Great Britain. The Gambia gained independence on February the 18th, 1965 as a constitutional monarchy in the Commonwealth with Elizabeth II as Queen of Gambia. Shortly after, the national government held a referendum proposing that the country be a republic. This referendum failed to accept the two-thirds majority required to amend the constitution. On April the 24th, 1970, Gambia became a republican state in the Commonwealth following a second referendum. Prime Minister Sir Douda Kairaba Jawara became president, an executive post combining the head of state and head of government. President Sir Douda Jawara was re-elected 5 times. A coup attempt on July the 29th, 1981, followed a weakening economy and corruption allegations against prominent politicians. In late 2001 and early 2002, Gambia completed the full cycle of presidential, legislative, and local election. President Yahya Jammeh was elected then. Next is from February the 18th, 1979, snowfall in the Sahara Desert in southern Algeria. On February the 18th, 1979, a rare phenomenon occurred in history. The desert lowlands of the Sahara experienced snowfall in areas near the city dubbed the Gateway to the Desert. It snowed in southern Algeria where a snowstorm stopped traffic. At that time, there was a storm in Ain Sifra and made the traffic flow in the city to be temporarily closed. Until then, the desert area of southern Algeria was covered by snow for about 30 minutes. Slowly afterwards, the ice in the barren region began to melt. The last item in Today in History is from 2010. WikiLeaks publishes the first of hundreds of thousands of classified documents disclosed by a soldier now known as Chelsea Manning. WikiLeaks is an international non-profit organization that publishes secret information, new leaks, and classified media provided by anonymous sources. Its website, initiated in 2006 in Iceland by the organization Sunshine Press, claims a database of 10 million documents in 10 years since its launch. Julian Paul Assange, an Australian internet activist, is generally described as its founder, editor-in-chief, and director. The group has released a number of prominent document dumps. Early releases included documentation of equipment, expenditures, and holdings in the Afghanistan war, and a report informing a corruption investigation in Kenya. That was the end of Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Highlight of the Week presents Issues of the Week.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with this week's spotlight, which today is on Indonesia introduces strategic industries potential to the UN peace mission. Director General of Defense Strategy of the Indonesian Ministry of Defense, Major General Hartin Asrin, said the skill and expertise of Indonesian peacekeeping mission have developed along with the support of Indonesia's own strategic industry. He was speaking in a panel discussion entitled Efforts to Address Capacity Gaps in United Nations Peacekeeping Mission, or UNMPP, at UN headquarters in New York on Wednesday, February the 14th. The panel discussion aims to examine and promote the use of innovative strategic industries in support of the UN peacekeeping mission. It also featured the success of the Indonesian contingent in carrying out their duty as mandated by the UN's mission by using national strategic industrial products. At the same time, they are also expected to promote Indonesia's strategic industrial products to the UN peacekeeping mission. The panel discussion was held on the sidelines of the UN Special Committee for Peacekeeping Operation meeting. Attending the discussion was United Nations Undersecretary General for Field Support, Atul Khare, as the keynote speaker. The panelists were Director of the UN Logistics Support Division, Anne-Marie Vandenberg, Deputy Commander of the Center for Peacekeeping, Colonel Aldrin Petrus Mongan, and Head of Development Division, PT Pindad Persero, Dr. Yayat Ruyat. The Director General for Defense Strategy of the Ministry of Defense of the Republic of Indonesia, Major General Partin Asrin, also underlined the success of Indonesia in optimizing the use of national strategic industrial products by the Garuda contingent in the UN peacekeeping mission in accordance with the mandate of Roadmap Vision for 1,000 Peacekeepers 2015 until 2019. Meanwhile, Atul Khare asserted that all UN peacekeeping missions need innovations and capacity building to be able to carry out their duties in the field. Currently, the United Nations, together with the contributor countries, should continue to improve cooperation under bilateral and trilateral framework. The panel discussed several important issues, including the importance of synergy among U.S. peacekeeping stakeholders to address the peacekeeping mission capability gap, discussed potential partnership and cooperation among U.N. member states, and the need to involve the private sector to address the capability gap. In addition, they also discussed concrete steps to strengthen the capacity of the peacekeeping mission, including through alternative procurement and innovative equipment financing. The panel discussion is part of a series of Indonesian campaigns to become non-permanent members of the Security Council 2019-2020. Indonesian exposure received positive response from UN member countries who attended the C34 meeting. The exposure is seen as having innovation value and breakthrough or out of the box. This is one of the tangible evidence of Indonesia's contribution to an effective and better performing of UN peace mission. Well, that was this week's Spotlight over Voice of Indonesia. This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now to bring you news in brief. Secretary General of the Executive Board of the Indonesian Pencaksilat Association, Erizal Caniago, on Sunday told RRI that he is optimistic that two gold medal targets from pencaksilat sport at the upcoming 2018 Asian Games will be achieved. The Election Supervisory Board is asked to be professional in handling political party disputes after the determination of participants in the 2019 election by General Election Commissions. The National Tour Strategic Area stated that there are more than 20 best dive sites in Sabang Waters, Aceh. The area has already been explored by thousands of divers around the world. PT Transportasi Jakarta Transjakarta is planning to increase Transjakarta bus route during the Asian Games 2018. Former chairman of PP Muhammadiyah Buya Shafi'i Ma'arif firmly stated that no religion whatsoever justifies violence or arbitrariness against the followers of other religions. The economy of a country must have a support in order for the country to experience a stable economy. A study said women working in companies, state economies will increase. Consumption behavior is considered to be the cause of the Indonesian population still high demand on rice. That was the end of news in brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz, you can also listen to audio streaming www.voi.co.id. Listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder. In this edition, I will introduce Jembatan Batu Waterfall, one of the tourist attractions in North Halmahera, North Maluku. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia via shortwave at 9525 kHz or through www.voinews.id. Tobelo Town is located east of the northern peninsula of Halmahera and is the largest city on the island. Tobelo is the capital of North Halmahera District. The main attraction of Tobelo, among others, is that there are many small island clusters with white sandy beaches, crystal clear seas, as well as stunning underwater beauty. Not only that, the customs that are deeply entrenched in the community are also the main reasons for tourists to come to the city. In addition, one of the amazing beauty of nature that must be visited in North Halmahera, Tobelo, is Jembatan Batu or Stone Bridge Waterfall. Jembatan Batu Waterfall is located around Mede River, Tobelo, North Halmahera, North Maluku. Its unique name is inspired by the shape of the rocks in front of it that form a kind of natural stone bridge. The specialty of Jembatan Batu or Stone Bridge Waterfall lies not on its height, which is only 10 meters, but the presence of other mini waterfalls in the same location. Hidden and surrounded by dense forests makes the waterfall an attractive destination, especially for lovers of nature adventure. For nature lovers who have rock climbing as a hobby, this place is one of the places worth visiting to conquer the steep stone wall that is in the location of Jembatan Batu or Stone Bridge Waterfall. In addition to constrained steep cliffs, slippery rock is also one of the obstacles in reaching the cliff top. But difficulty will soon pay off when you reach the top of the cliff that presents the beauty of natural panorama with incredible sensation. You will see a big pool from the top of the hollow roof. When it rains, the color of this waterfall is brown, but if it does not rain, the water in the pool is turquoise blue. This clear water makes anyone want to throw themselves into the pond. The ceiling of the stone bridge looks pretty much like a bird nest, and many other birds are also flying around the pool under the waterfall. If you have arrived in North Halmahera, Tobelo City, and want to proceed to Jembatan Batu or Stone Bridge Waterfall, you can go to Mede Village because the waterfall is located about 6 kilometers west of the village. If you use public transport to this place, you can use a minibus heading to Galela. Then you get off at Mede Village or Ruko Village and continue by walking into the forest. This is therefore recommended that you hire the services of a local guide. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today featuring Jembatan Batu or Stone Bridge Waterfall in North Halmahera, North Maluku.
Thank you for still being with us in Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia or to our email address english@voi.co.id or to voi.english@gmail.com. Listener now, let's listen to Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia. A segment featuring various actual information.
Listeners of Airwood Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome to our regular program Miscellany. Today's edition will explore the topic of UNS students create bleach detector on rice. So stay tuned in at Airwood Service Voice of Indonesia at frequency 9525 kHz or www.voinews.id. Listener, rice is the staple food of most Indonesians. Therefore, the availability and quality of rice become very important. In general, clean and fragrant white rice is categorized as high quality rice. However, people should be observant and ensure the use of chemicals as rice bleach. The use of rice bleach is certainly not good and harmful to health. To know the existence of bleach in rice, two students of Sebelas Maret University or UNS Surakarta have created a tool called Scraper or the Smart Chlorinated Rice Portable Detector based on microcontrol at Mega 8535 and Light Dependent Resistor or LDR. They are Intan Mulya Rahayu from Food Science and Technology Studies Faculty of Agriculture and Kevin Ikhwan Muhammad from Chemical Engineering. Listener, according to Intan, using chlorine as bleaching agent is very dangerous for health. Chlorine can damage blood cells, disrupt liver function, and damage the respiratory system. When the use of chlorine reaches 3 until 5 ppm in rice or even reaches a dose of more than 30 ppm, it can cause death. Scraper appears to address market issues about the rampant and scrupulous sellers of rice that deliberately add bleach and chlorine to low quality of rice. With chlorine, the rice looks clean and white like the super quality, but most consumers cannot distinguish rice that contains bleach or not. This innovation was featured at the Thailand International Inventors Day 2018 International Innovation Competition held at the Bangkok International Trade and Exhibition Center in Thailand from 2 to 6 February 2018. Both students also won a special award from the World Invention Intellectual Property Association, and Intan, who is chairman of the research team, said that they hope that this innovation tool can be useful for the community as an effort to prevent the consumption of unhealthy rice and can assist the government in the inspection of rice sellers in the market. Listener, the competition was organized by the National Research Council of Thailand with the International Federation of Inventors Association and the World Invention Intellectual Property Association. The Thailand Inventors Day is held annually to showcase the potential of innovation and discoveries from international innovators. The event was attended by 24 countries including Indonesia, Canada, China, Egypt, Hong Kong, India, Iran and Japan. That was Miscellany Today. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we will also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now, let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by M. Mutirhe in Luxembourg. In his email, Mr. Mutirhe asked whether there is a way to listen to our broadcast by a mobile application because he couldn't find it. Hello, Mr. Mutirhe. Thank you for your email on our broadcast. Firstly, we wish you a happy new year too. As information, you can listen to our broadcast through our website www.voinews.id or through mobile application in Android or smartphone. You just download RRI Play from Play Store, so you can enjoy our broadcast anywhere and anytime as you like. We hope our information can be useful. Thank you. Special for you, Mr. Mo Tirhe, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Jauh tuk dipegang, ingin merasakan dan menyentuh lembut bulunya. Burung terbang tinggi melayang melintasi awan. Aku hanya takjub berharap terbang bersamanya. Apalagi yang bisa membuai hatiku berbunga merasakan rasa bahagia. Terilhamilah hidup ini. Cinta itu adalah hal terindah yang ku punya. Cinta itu adalah segalanya. Cinta itu adalah hal terindah yang ku punya. Memilikimu adalah segalanya. Apakah salah jika aku tentang perasaanku padamu seperti ini? Meski aku tahu sulit untuk memilikimu, tapi apa daya cinta ini meracuniku. Segalanya.
Listener, now we will replay an email from Kazuhiro Takao in Japan. He sent his email through voi@voinews.id and listened to our broadcast in Japanese program through frequency of 9525 kHz on October 9, 2016 at 12:02 to 13:02 hours UTC with the simple 24222 until 23222. Hello, Mr. Kazuhiro Takao. Thank you for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. We are really sorry for poor signal and interference on our broadcast. We hope that you can still enjoy our broadcast despite severe noise and fading. Mr. Kazuhiro Takao, we are really sorry because our transmitter is being maintained. We can only monitor our radio through our website www.voinews.id. www.voinews.id. As your request, we will send our key SL card to your home immediately. Please keep monitoring and sending your reception report of our broadcast. Thank you, and special for you and our other regular listeners, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Kembali dengan sekuntum mawar sebagai ungkapan akan permintaan maafmu. Aku terkesima dengan sikapmu itu, namun tak membuat aku menerimamu lagi. Aku tak bisa hidup bersamamu lagi. Dan aku tak bisa mencintaimu dengan sepenuh hati. Kau coba mengingatkan masa-masa indah ketika kita pernah saling mencinta. Sepekan sudah aku berpikir keras untuk mencoba relakan apa yang telah terjadi. Di depan mataku, kau mempermainkan api yang membakar janji ikrar setiamu itu. Aku tak bisa hidup bersamamu lagi. Sepenuh hati, kau coba mengingatkan masa-masa indah ketika kita pernah saling mencinta dan masih tak bisa melihatmu kembali dan datang padaku. Ku coba melupakan, memaafkan dirimu, tapi sakitnya hatiku melebihi cintamu.
Essayer. Mais là, tu me quittes à la terrasse d'un café. dengan sepenuh hati. Ku coba mengingatkan masa-masa indah ketika kita pernah saling mencinta dan masih tak bisa melihatmu kembali dan datang padaku. Ku coba melupakan, memaafkan dirimu, tapi sakitnya hatiku melebihi cintamu. Dan aku tak bisa mencintaimu dengan sepenuh hati. Kau coba mengingatkan masa-masa indah ketika kita pernah saling mencinta dan masih tak bisa melihatmu kembali dan datang padaku. Ku coba melupakan, memaafkan dirimu, tapi sakitnya hatiku melebihi cintamu.
You are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to replay an email from Mr. Ashik Iqbal in Bangladesh. Hello Mr. Ashik Iqbal, thank you for your attention on our broadcast. We are proud of your effort to be able to monitor our broadcast. Yes, that's right. Now our website has changed into www.voinews.id. We present a new website to satisfy our listeners. Through our website www.voinews.id, listeners can find all information starting from news of current affairs, commentary, until emails from the listeners throughout the world, including our new programs such as My Indonesia, Mosaic of Indonesia, and Diplomatic Corner. Well, Mr. Ashik Iqbal, please keep listening to our broadcast and sending your report for you. Listener, wherever you are, we will play a beautiful song.
Tetap pola matamu terasa menusuk tepat di jantung hatiku. Tarik nafas terdalam seiring balas tatapmu, memacu nadi kacaukan adrenalinku. Tak ada yang salah, tak ada yang tak benar, di mataku semua tergantung. Semua tergambar indah.
before we end our listeners' mailbag, we want to replay a letter from the United States of America. The letter was sent by Luis Camarillo. He is one of our regular listeners who regularly sends a letter every month. Hello, Mr. Luis Camarillo. Thank you for sending your letter on our broadcast. So, Mr. Luis Camarillo, keep listening to our broadcast and please do not forget to send your reception report. Thank you. Well, listener, actually, we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voinews.id, voinews.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Alika, thank you for listening, and we will meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
Deru ombak, ku nantikan tenangnya. Di deras hujan badai, ku menunggu redanya. Begitu rasanya mengharapmu bicara. Selama ini kau tak pernah menganggap ku ada. Ataukah aku hilaf? Mungkin saja ku pernah menyakiti dirimu. Tapi jangan kau simpan, bukan untuk dipendam. Selalunya engkau tak pernah menganggap ku ada. Tapi kau tak pernah bisa memaafkan diriku. Oh, mungkin kau telah terluka karena semua salahku. Tapi perlakuanmu menyiksa jiwa. Aku hilang, mungkin saja ku pernah
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, Nomor 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.